Hey there, fellow nerd. Welcome to Pop Nerd Lounge, the podcast for the creative soul. I'm your host, Steph Pham. I can't believe we're about to wrap our fourth season. It's been an absolutely incredible ride full of thoughtful conversations. If you want to stay up to date and get our episodes as we release them, make sure to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform. You can also find us on social media at Pop Nerd Lounge on Twitter and Instagram. My guest today works in the field of executive security and bodyguarding, but recently branched out and started a web series. The lifestyle series shows the backstory of how he got to where he is today, and we see him preparing for the touring life. We chat about his path before touring, how he maintains his physical and mental health on the road, and we discuss his foundation, The Future is Latino. Please welcome my guest, Pepe Araujo. Welcome to Pop Nerd Lounge, and I'm here with Pepe Araujo. Pepe, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
What kind of career aspirations or goals did you have growing up?
Growing up, I honestly, the first thing I wanted to do was I wanted to become an astronaut. Like my first, like when I was in preschool and you graduate preschool, the first thing I wanted to do was become an astronaut. And then after that, I wanted to become a nurse. And that was like my first, actually, that was my first major was going into nursing and going in and doing the prereqs. And then after that, I had a bad experience with the teacher. And they kind of sucked the love out of me trying to become a nurse. And then I went into psychology, got my degree in psychology. And I thought I was going to actually go into teaching, being a special ed teacher. And I was in the middle of my credential. And then that's when the opportunity of becoming working in executive protection, bodyguard, security, however you want to call it, kind of worked out for me.
How did your family or circle inspire you to have the career you have now?
Oh, my whole family's like, my mom, my dad, they're natural hustlers. You know, my dad, he came to America, he's an illegal immigrant, so not knowing, you know, the English language and him just hustling from job to job and providing us with a roof over our head and food on our plate. And then my mother, you know, first generation Latina, being born here as well. You know, they just knew how to hustle. She became a nurse as well. So that kind of instilled me the motivation and the drive to just never settling, you know. Like, I could have, like, not got a degree and not pursued, you know, getting into, like, charity. And then I decided if I'm going to get into this, might as well try to achieve the highest level as well.
And that was something that watching your vlogs I could relate to, because I'm a first generation Asian American. I can relate to having a parent immigrant experience, like when your parents come over here and kind of start anew from the ground up. And so you want to make your parents proud. I could totally relate to that watching your vlogs.
Exactly. And I'm sure, like you say, too, you can relate in regards to, like, they could have, like your parents, just like mine, they could have just settled. They couldn't have, like, you know, they didn't have to work their asses off to be where they're at now to provide for the kids like yourself and mine. But you know, they did. And I think that was, like, a tremendous, you know, such a role model that like, it was like a role model mode that they took for us.
Oh, no, 100%. And that's kind of, I feel like that's something that I could empathize with you as well, is that we get our hard work ethic watching them. You were saying, like, they have become our role models because they sacrifice so much to watch us grow and to give us the best life possible. So yeah, I feel like we developed our work ethic from that. Speaking about your vlogs, what inspired you to start Pep Talk?
Believe it or not, so Pep Talk was inspired mainly because I've always had, like, a creative spirit inside of me, and I've always wanted to, like, I've always wanted to do something, you know, like some type of, like, behind the scenes story. And I'm a big fan of, like, UFC, embedded. I'm a big fan of, like, 24/7 when I got, like, boxing. They have, like, a behind the scenes thing. And I love how they portray. Like, it's so dramatic, cinematic. And so I'm a big movie buff as well. So then I just decided. But what happened was I decided to take on myself to kind of basically just write the treatment and come up with also like the scores, because that's a big thing that I'm sure hopefully you've noticed in my web series is the music. I definitely study the music that I want to put in there, whether it's old school music, whether it's new school music, and I put it all in there. And it was cool because, you know, obviously, you know, people know me as, you know, security, or they know me as the guy who works out, but, you know, I definitely have a creative gene inside of me that I just wanted to release. So with the help of my buddy JT Clemente, my videographer, he was able to capture everything I wanted, and it's been amazing. And we still have one more episode that should be coming out pretty soon, and then I'm already working on season two, which is going to be amazing. And the feedback that I've gotten from the web series has been amazing, from people that I would have never in a million years, you know, would have thought that were supporting me. So it's been pretty great.
100%, because, well, like when I watch it, you kind of expect online culture now to be like, hey, you know, we're going to work out today, or these are some tips that I can give you in fitness or in health. You know, you kind of captured this lifestyle sense to it. Like you added like a backstory or a narrative to it. And I really enjoy that because it just gives it so much more humanity and so much more personal level to it. So I really enjoyed watching your storytelling from that point of view.
That really means a lot, especially because that's kind of what I wanted to push, because I know that, you know, what I do and, you know, the field that I work in, I'm like in the 1% style. You know, I get my line of work, I get to travel the world. I get to meet, you know, from artists to musicians to movie stars to everything. But the biggest thing is I always want to emphasize that it's how I got to this point. And it's owed to, you know, with my family, my community. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, you got to be humble. You know, once you start becoming arrogant, then, in my opinion, you know, excuse my language, but you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love how you talk about the 3 points you focus on while you prepare for a tour, like the mental, physical, and emotional health. So let's talk about the physical aspect. Being on the road for an extended period of time could wear someone out if you don't know how to maintain your body properly. What are some like routines or practices that you noticed have helped prepare you for tour?
Well, honestly, it's been a lot of trial and error. You know, when I first started, you know, going on the road my first year, I really just had to figure it out on the fly, you know. And honestly, it's just being very conscious of what you eat, what time you eat, you know, because, you know, there's plenty of food that's always around you at all times of the day. So the biggest, you know, biggest thing is portion control. And then also for me is knowing that I get the opportunity to, I'm an early bird, so I wake up earlier and more than everybody. So when I get up, my first thing is I'm working out, I'm hitting the gym. You know, if we're doing arenas, I'm doing the stairs. If there's a trail, I'm running. But if not, honestly, you just got to figure it out. You know, sometimes I'm doing push-ups on brick walls. Sometimes I'm doing just like the burpees, lunges. So the physical aspect is just, honestly, you got to just motivate yourself just to get it done, because it's pretty easy to get out of shape when you're on a tour for 2 or 3 months.
And one thing that really stood out to me in your pilot was that you're talking about combating complacency, because it's something that, I mean, like we could all fall into. If we build a routine and we just stick to it and don't change it up, we could easily get comfortable and fall into complacency. What's something that you found that helps you change up your day to day to not become stagnant?
Honestly, a lot of from self-help books to good music to even like reading, like devotional prayers. You know, I'm just big on trying to motivate myself in any way possible. So, you know, like today, you know, I woke up and I was like, man, I really want to listen to music, but there's a great podcast and it's 45 minutes long and I'm trying to do 5 miles. I'll just run until the podcast is over, and that'll be 5 miles, you know? So it's whatever comes to my mind, you know, that really helps me motivate myself. Sorry.
You introduced us to Mike and the NutriShop in the first episode of Pep Talk, and it showed that there's like this familial or community vibe in your local town. Talk to me about the journey of forming friendships through fitness.
You know, it's been like you bring up Mike, you know, that relationship has been, you know, several years in the book. And, you know, everybody either is in shape, wants to get in shape, or wants to learn how to get in shape. And for me, I went through all those phases when I wanted to, because I was obese growing up. So, you know, when I wanted to get in shape, I wasn't afraid to ask questions or who to ask. And then, you know, now where, you know, I consider myself to be in pretty good shape, you know, I get asked a lot of questions. And then, you know, I educate who have questions. And also, I still ask questions. So Mike, as a person who throughout the years has really just helped me out with what kind of food to put in my body, what kind of supplements that I need to take, when's the best time to take this. And also with Mike, he's now become a part of my family to where, you know, he comes over to the house and we hang out, double dates. And then he's also been a good friend of mine to really support. Like my mom, she's getting in shape as well. So he helps her, you know, just the same thing like he does with me, giving her the right advice and, you know, what supplements and what food to eat. So it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, it creates a sense of a bond. Like, know that something like fitness could be really hard if it's like somebody's out there on their own trying to go through fitness, but like having an accountability buddy or just somebody to act as a resource, it helps out so much.
Oh yeah, and that's my biggest thing too. I get it. Like, you can have your own accountability, but I like to know that like I'm accountable, but somebody else is taking accountability for me as well. So, you know, I'm kind of in a way, like, I always like to, I might not work out with people, but I also like to know, like, hey, what'd you do today? Or, hey, I worked out today, what'd you do? Or, hey, I went to jiu-jitsu 4 days a week, did you go 5 days a week? So I'm always, you know, I'm always like pushing people because I know that they're pushing me back.
Speaking of jiu-jitsu, something that you said was that you were striving to always improve and learn, and it challenged you that you know you're aware that you have like room for improvement. So how has training in jiu-jitsu impacted your day-to-day life?
It's changed my life for the better. Starting with humility, first off, you know, when I first started jiu-jitsu, I'm 6'3", you know, 6'3", 280. I thought I'm just big and I have muscle, I can throw people around. But, you know, when I'm, you know, and jiu-jitsu is called like rolling, like when you're fighting, it's rolling and going up against somebody who's, you know, 5'10", maybe 160 pounds soaking wet, but they're tapping me out, they're choking me out. But after the fact, you know, they're willing to sit with me, talk to me, show me how they tap me out or showing me how, what can I do to when I get in certain situations. That has like really just humbled me. And then to top it off too, like I train with, you know, with grown men, and these men that I train with, they're established. You know, I'm training with lawyers, teachers, therapists, law enforcement. So it's always just it's a good bond, you know, it's a good brotherhood. And I owe a lot to my jiu-jitsu trainer, Nick Willard, because he's the one who literally has been grooming me for the past 5 years.
A conversation in the music industry these days is this need for mental health professionals on sets and tours. Would this be something that you would advocate for? And what are some things that you do to stay emotionally and mentally healthy on tours?
I agree with what you said. I advocate that. Honestly, the way that I keep my mind right is, you know, I'm blessed to have like my partner who works with me in the security world is my boy Jordan Harris. And I've been working with him for the past 5 years, but I've been friends with him since we were 17. We played basketball together in the city, and we came up, you know, from playing basketball in high school to college together, and then we got into the security world. So he's kind of like my, you know, my shoulder when I'm down and out. And also like the rest of my team, like the cool thing about, you know, the team that I'm with is we've all been together for so many years that, you know, we can just speak to one another. And also another thing is I'm super blessed that my fiance, she's also a licensed therapist. So in case if I ever need anything, I can always call her and she can always give me, you know, the right advice or tips So I definitely utilized her a lot as well.
Yeah. I think that's something important that is not talked about in music these days is that, you know, we artists, we're grinding, we're hustling, but nobody ever talks about taking care of your mental or emotional health. And it's something super important because it's something a part of you, like it contributes to your physical health too. So yeah, like having all of those in balance is key to living a really good, healthy, creative life.
1,000%. I couldn't agree more. And that's where, you know, if you know me, you know, I'm, you know, call what you want, executive protection, security guard, whatever, bodyguard. But at the same time, I'm also a person who's very vulnerable. And if I have something to say, I'm going to say it. If I have something to get off my chest, I'm going to say it. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things that one of the reasons why I go back to, you know, why I started my podcast was because I wanted to show that there's more to the security side or the bodyguard side than just a body, you know. There's you know, the backstory, which is making sure that my own sanity is taken care of, which is, you know, the physical, the mental, and the emotional side.
I love how the second episode highlights your circle. I think this industry can become difficult to surround yourself with a good group of people. What's the biggest lesson you learned about connecting with others and building relationships?
That as you get older, your circle becomes smaller. That's one thing that I really realized. You know, you have a lot of acquaintances, but there's only a few people that you call, you know, your friends, and it's the friends that turn into family. And for that, you know, I really cherish the people that I have around me. Everyone has a story. And that's like the coolest thing that I love about, you know, just having relationships with people. Everybody has their own story. And the cool thing is I get to have the opportunity to, you know, really meet people from different parts of the world or different types of jobs or, you know, stuff like that. Even people of different ethnicities or different languages, you know, it's cool to know that I build relationships with people that live in Tokyo or friends that I have now in the Dominican Republic or even in Europe when we're all traveling out there.
And I love what you said in that episode. I'm going to quote this for my listener. It says, family means putting your arms around each other and being there. Having somewhere to go is home. Having someone to love is family. Having both is a blessing. And I just want to tell you that struck a chord with me just because in this industry, it's so hard to find genuine people to surround yourself with, to keep yourself sane and grounded. And that just hit me right there because I'm like, I'm blessed to have a family and a home. So yeah, I just wanted to tell you that.
No, I, you know, and I appreciate that impacted you the way that it did, you know, because when I said that, I was really thinking about, you know, my own family, like my mom, my dad, my brothers, and any of my fiance, because, you know, in this industry, you can kind of get lost in, you know, in the glamour and the riches and the people you meet, but at the end of the day, you know, those people that your family, they're the ones that measure who you are, and they're the ones that at the end of the day, if God forbid this all goes away, they'll still be with you. You know, they'll be waiting for you. And I know that, you know, working in this environment, I've gotten way closer to my brothers and my mother and my father and, you know, my fiance, because that's what really matters.
Oh, 100%. Something else that struck a chord with me was that we kind of touched on this earlier, but you talked about how you describe your travels to your parents and you tell them about where you've been. And it's not to brag, but it's also to share your parents and kind of thank them for helping you get to where you are today. So what has your parents' support meant to you throughout this journey?
It's meant the whole world to me, you know. From hopping on my first tour and being gone for 3 months and, you know, being homesick to even, you know, being in the position where I'm at now and sometimes not knowing what to say or the right questions or how to act. And the cool thing is, you know, my dad has always been a leader in his own way and has always like motivated us to be leaders. So, you know, being able to know that I can call him any day of the week, any time, and, you know, just, you know, be vulnerable and ask them personal questions on how, you know, how I should be with the situations has been amazing. My mom, she's somebody who's really, she's the person who I can, you know, when I gotta cry or when I gotta vent or when I need, you know, just that hug, even if it's from a phone, she's always there for me and always reminds me too to, you know, just keep my head right, to always, you know, pray, to always, you know, keep God first, which is in the shower. Yeah. And also another thing too is cool is I think in episode 3 it shows it, but my older brother he actually got into this industry a few years earlier than me, and he's been touring I believe like 4 more years than me. So when I got into touring, because he works for Super Duper Kyle, and he's like his day to day manager, and so when I got into this touring life and working with artists, he was somebody who I was really able just to ask for advice, whether it's how to live on the road or how to deal with, you know, getting up at 8 a.m, falling asleep at 5 a.m, doing it all over again, how to deal with people, how to deal with the managers, with public relations, how to deal with fans, what not to do, you know, just stuff like that. And it was cool to be able to have your older brother to really look up to when I had questions like that. And then with my younger brother, you know, he's always been a very big part of my life with fitness. He's in crazy shape, and so I would always ask him, like, give me some pointers on how to stay in shape when I'm on the road, what to do, you know, because he's a soccer player, so his thing is, you know, cardio. So he's giving me tips on that.
And it's so great to have that kind of support and resource, even though you're away or on the road, because it feels like it's a piece of home with you, even though you're not physically there.
Oh, yeah. And you know what, then? Thank God for FaceTime, to be honest. So that's also a big part. You know, I get to, you know, my parents might be a little older and they might take a while, but once I call them on FaceTime, you know, like parents, the awkward FaceTime, they don't know what's going on. But the fact that, you know, they answer and they talk to me FaceTime is great.
Yeah, yeah. Talk to me about The Future is Latino and how it got started.
Yeah. So it got started, I want to say, about a year and a half ago. And the reason why I decided to make, you know, my business, you know, The Future is Latino, was because, to be honest, was because of what was going on. I mean, and what's still going on in America with, you know, with the immigration, the deportation, and DACA, and the way that, you know, the higher ups of America were handling, you know, immigrants, and I really wanted to publicize that. So, you know, I decided to make my brand The Future Latino, and then the first couple shirts were, you know, just if it will say Latino, we'll say Latina, the future Latino. And then and then the big shirt that I made was, you know, a very aggressive shirt, but it said fuck the wall. And that shirt made headlines because we were wearing that shirt during our tour, I believe, a year ago. And, you know, everybody from fans at different cities were wearing that shirt to artists were wearing that shirt. And then, you know, a big focal point was when we were in LA and also at the VMAs, you know, Logic wore that shirt and that made headlines, you know, the next morning after, I think he wore it during the VMAs. It was, you know, Rolling Stone was talking about it. Variety was talking about it. CNN was talking about it. So, that was a big, that was a very big moment for not only my company, but also the impact it did for immigrants, for first generation immigrants, for all Latino, the whole Latin world, and even just all immigrants. Period. You didn't have to be Latino to really feel that, you know, somebody was taking a stand for immigration and immigrant laws.
And I feel it's just time for Latinos and POCs in general, for us to bond together and band together to stand up for what's right and to stand up for decent treatment, not just like just being treated as humans. It's just like the sign of the times where we need to come together to just to raise awareness and just use our voice since we have a platform.
No, exactly. And you're right. And yeah, and that's the thing was like, you know, it was a great like stepping stone to making like the cause aware. But now, you know, looking at it like in the future, now my biggest emphasis is, yeah, you know, the future is Latino, but also the future is, you know, Asian, Arabic, Indian, everything, you know. And that's the thing where like my new rollout will be We Belong. And I have a design for it, and that's my biggest thing. That's my focus on it for this year. And then what I'm actually trying to make it a legit nonprofit, because you know, last year we were able to, I don't know if you knew, with the money that we made, we did a charity, a Thanksgiving drive, we did a Christmas drive, and then you know, I was able to sponsor a high school graduate with a laptop when she graduated, because she was the first of her family to graduate from high school and get accepted to college. So, you know, we were able to provide her with the backpack. I mean, not with the backpack, with the laptop.
What other projects are you wanting to expand the brand to raise more awareness?
You know, there's a lot of ideas that I have in my mind. But the first things first, what I really want to do is I just really want to make it a full-on nonprofit, because at the end of the day, you know, the whole purpose of me making this company was not for me to make money, but it was to help others. So I want it to be a legit nonprofit. And after that, you know, I can take it actually beyond the United States. You know, I just recently went to, like, for instance, I recently went to Nicaragua, and in Nicaragua, it really, you know, I really was impacted by, you know, the poverty out there, and being such a third world that I wanted to see if I can give back out there. So, you know, I really want to do a school drive, hopefully in the next year. But this for at least for right now, I'm still going to do my second annual Thanksgiving drive. I'm still going to do my Christmas drive, and then hopefully do another scholarship for a high school graduate.
Well, Pepe, this has been such an amazing talk. I've enjoyed just chatting with you about, you know, life and then the creative life. So how can people connect with you on social media, or where can people check out your web series?
So you can check me out on literally, I just have one thing, and that's Instagram, BigPep3342. Also, you know, my web series is on my YouTube, and it's connected to my Instagram. But I'm just big on my Instagram, BigPep3342, and I'll have one more episode on my web series, and then, you know, season 2 is going to be coming out soon. And also, you know, if you want to support the Species Latino, I'm going to be pushing that very, very soon. You know, right now I'm just currently, you know, like, I'm calling you right now from Orlando, Florida. We're in the middle of our tour, and once I'm done with tour, then it's on to, you know, my second project, which is, you know, my organization.
Beautiful. Pepe, thank you so much for speaking with me. I had a fabulous time chatting with you.
You know, and thank you for really doing your research, because it really means a lot to, you know, to be in an interview or a podcast where, you know, and, you know, you actually did your research and really took the time to really get to know me. And that really meant a lot. And thank you so much for having me on here.
My guest today was Pepe Araujo, I really enjoyed connecting with him about family, and I appreciated the fact that he wanted to show another side to the security world. We all might have job titles, but we are so much more than a body and a vessel. We emote, we think, and we create. So it's important to know that there's more to a person than meets the eye. If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more about Pepe, visit the links in the show notes. Popner Lounge is executive produced by Steph Pham and V. Co. V serves as the producer and creative director, and Steph Pham is the host and the show's editor. For all things Popner Lounge, visit our website, popnerlounge.com. Thanks for joining us for a conversation for creatives by creatives. We hope you tune in next time for Popner Lounge. I'm Steph Pham.